Hey, Chicago, it's Richard Roper. You know, when it comes to digital marketing, I always say, go with the pros. And the team at AmericanEagle.com, I'd highly recommend them. They've been driving real results for businesses of all sizes for decades. Whether you need AI-powered insights, smart, effective SEO, email marketing that actually converts, or so much more, their experts are the best at what they do. If you're ready to take your marketing to the next level, visit AmericanEagle.com. That's AmericanEagle.com. They drive results and they do it right.
Time for our weekly visit with Richard Roper. Rich, good morning. What's on your mind today?
Good morning, Bob. Happy Oscar nomination day to those who celebrate. And those who celebrate are the people who get the Oscar nominations, of course. And I want to start off by reminding you, Bob, that you are a member of the media. And it is media law that after the nominations come out, you must use the term surprises and snubs. We have these surprises, and then you have to talk about who got snubbed as if they were in high school and they were ignored by the homecoming king. And I will also just put this in perspective for folks. If you got snubbed and you didn't get an Oscar nomination, if that's the worst thing that happened to you today, you didn't get nominated for a trophy because you were in a major motion picture that just missed the cut, life is still pretty good.
And now, the Academy has been doing this, the announcement of the nominations, the same way for years, haven't they?
It's interesting because for 50 years, they would just send out press releases, you know, all the way through, you know, about 25 years ago, you would just send out a press release and then you'd get Walter Cronkite. He'd end the news by saying, you know, Fiddler on the Roof has received 8 Oscar nominations, and that would be it. And then they started doing these announcements, Bob. But what I find fascinating is they're still doing what they call the alarm clock announcements. In the, you know, it's still pre-dawn in Los Angeles. They go to the Samuel Goldwyn Theater. And they would, in the early years, they'd have, you know, the likes of the electric Sid Gannis, president of the Academy Motion Picture and Arts, read off the names. Now they usually have two pretty well-known actors, but they just read off the names in a vacuum, and you'll hear a few publicists in the background clapping, and they just race through them. And what I find interesting, Bob, is in this day and age that they haven't changed that to adapt to the times. You know, you look at, for example, what they do with the Heisman Trophy ceremony. You know, you get an hour and a half long special, or even the reveal of the college football brackets becomes a TV special. I don't know why the Academy doesn't do like a 90-minute streaming special highlighting all the possible nominees, you know, turning it into more of an event than just reading off a bunch of names at 5:30 Pacific time.
Well, I guess the thinking is do it early so it gets on all the morning news programs. But you're right, a lot more viewers if they would do something at night. That's kind of a mystery.
Make it more of an extravaganza. It's supposed to be Hollywood's biggest night is the Oscars, and the second one of the biggest days is the Oscar nominations, and it's so underwhelming. I will say that sticking with this in a weird way, Bob, kind of works now because in addition to shows like yourself and all the morning shows, you have the immediacy of social media. So you do get an entire day where everybody's on Twitter and TikTok and Instagram reacting to this. You'll see streaming interviews. You'll see nominated actors now. You know, what they'll do on the morning shows, they'll have one actor that they know is going to get nominated, Leonardo DiCaprio standing by, and they'll talk to them. But now, if you're an actor or a filmmaker who got nominated or somebody behind the scenes, you can just jump on your phone and do a fun thank you video and post that. So it does become a little more communal, but it's still kind of underwhelming.
Yeah, I know that YouTube is going to have the Oscars. They've taken it away from ABC starting in a couple of years, I think. But when that happens, I bet YouTube gets in on the nominations, and they'll probably have a meeting over there and say, "Look, we got to. Well, now that we own the Oscars, we want to handle the announcements of the nominations." Don't you think?
Absolutely. You know, we talked a couple of weeks ago about how there were like 18 different platforms where you could watch NFL games this year, right? Sometimes you had to go to Netflix or Prime Video. And now YouTube, as you mentioned, in a couple of years is going to have the Oscars. I think, you know, YouTube, I think the best thing for them to do, if they're going to do the Oscar nominations, get all like the biggest YouTube stars. Get the guy who plays piano with his cat and has 14 million followers. And then get the person that does recipes while standing on their head. And then get the dad and the daughter who argue about 1970s movies versus current movies. And get all of them together to announce the Oscars. You know, make it a YouTube-y kind of thing.
Some group. one other thing I know on your mind. People who wear team jerseys. There was a story the other day about this guy in Chicago who has a 350 sports jerseys, 90 Bears shirts. And, you know, I remember many, many years ago, this was not a thing. In fact, it was hard to find a place where you could buy a team jersey. And I bought a couple of them, and they weren't that expensive. But that market exploded, didn't it?
That's another interesting kind of evolution. So if you go back and look at, you know, movies like The Natural or Eight Men Out, they're fictionalized versions of stories. One of them's pure fiction. But, you know, the men are in suits and ties and the women are in dresses. And even Bob, if you Google like a picture of Ernie Banks or Willie Mays in the 60s, everybody in the audience looks like they're starring in Oliver Stone's JFK. You know, they all look like J. Edgar Hoover with the hats, you know, the man with the umbrella. And then it's sort of, I think it kind of, you know, dovetailed with our culture. You know, people talk about how when people go to church or synagogue or temple, they don't dress as much as they used to do. And you know, for ball games, it was, you know, the hippies, you know, in the 60s and 70s were like, I'm not going to wear a shirt and tie to the game. But the wearing of the merchandise, Bob, really didn't start until the 90s, and you had a couple of things. Remember the starter jackets became a real big thing where you could get, you know, team jackets. And then the hip-hop culture. You saw a lot of wearing of baseball hats and jerseys. And then it exploded because the teams and the leagues figured out that there was a fortune to be made in selling merchandise. So now, if you go on any team's website, they have not just dozens but hundreds of items. And it also kind of speaks to this, you mentioned YouTube, this communal feeling where fans want to be more a part of it. And even athletes, you know, you saw at the Blackhawks game the other day, you got Caleb Williams and Pete Crow Armstrong going to the Blackhawks game wearing Blackhawks sweaters, which is really cool. Connor Bedard, you know, wearing, you know, and then he'll go to a Cubs game. But now, 50% of fans who go to a major sporting event will be wearing some sort of jersey or apparel of their home team. Are you a guy that does that, Bob?
I don't feel the urge, but whenever we go to a game, my wife has to wear that team's jersey. It's a must. And by the way, thank you for wearing one of my old music radio shirts. It's a nice tribute to me. I noticed that immediately. I wonder what that's worth.
People sell
that stuff. They go on the marketplace on Facebook or whatever it is, and lots of transactions with those things, you know.
Yeah, the vintage stuff is really cool. And then, of course, the immediate stuff if some team wins the championship. It is interesting, though. I mean, I'm the same way. And listen, I'm all for people. It's all harmless. If you want to put on a jersey, if you want to put on a sweater for a Blackhawks game, I personally would feel strange wearing a Caleb Williams jersey. He's 24 years old. It just seems like an odd thing to me personally. That's my personal choice. But if you want to do it, you want to do it. And then you always get the creative people. You know, they come up with the obscure player from way back in the day or, you know, their favorite player. So there's a lot of interaction. Again, it's completely harmless, but when you look at how the crowds have changed, and now, of course, there's a lot of participatory things as well, like if you're going to go to a college football game, you have to wear the color of your team. You know, if you don't, you will be shamed. And then a lot of times the teams will leave out T-shirts, you know, in the stadium. Everybody must, it's sort of like the old Seinfeld episode. Who doesn't want to wear the ribbon? You must wear the ribbon to show you are tolerant. And it's like, well, you're kind of being like, if you don't do it, you don't want to be that one guy in the middle of the Michigan Go Big Blue audience with the Ohio State jersey. Then you're in a bad commercial.
Yeah, I see these guys wearing the uniforms, and I just think maybe there should be some sort of fitness requirement before they're allowed to do that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, there's guys, they're stretching the jersey out while yelling at some 22-year-old that he's a bum. And you're like, you barely got off your couch.
Yeah. Richard Roper, more next Thursday. Thank you, Richard. Have a good one. And it's all sponsored by AmericanEagle.com, web design, development, and digital marketing agency.